I love the idea, and welcome to the show as we wind it down for Jeff Wagner coming up at noon here on WTMJ. Noon to 3, Monday through Friday, the Jeff Wagner Show. I love the idea of talking to people who are actually making the decisions, and today is one of those cases. And joining us in studio, she's been here before, State Representative Deb Andraca joins us. Welcome.
Thanks, Dave. It's great to be back.
So there's a lot of things we can talk about. We're going to get to the Office of School Safety because I think that's a big one. And I've got some real questions on why that's apparently not going to be funded and what the thought process is there. So we'll get to that. As far as the budget goes.
Yes.
You've worked through this process.
Mm-hmm.
We're at some point going to hand us off to the governor. Any idea what his thoughts are on what we know so far?
I don't know. I wish I had a crystal ball. We have been going through the budget process. It hasn't been the process that I think the state deserves. There have been an awful lot of measures.
Tell me why.
There have been measures that have been passed in the middle of the night. For example, the cuts to child care counts, which is really, if we don't continue that fund, we'll gut the number of child care slots throughout the state. That was something that was passed through at 2 a.m. There have been other instances where, for example, I was on the education committee, and when the literacy bill was passed, it was moved out of the education committee to go to a different committee. And when it came time to the vote, there was a pretty significant amendment, and we had almost about 30 minutes to read through it and figure out what our vote was going to be. And we're doing that over and over and over again. So it's always disappointing when you can't take the time to craft good legislation with public input from everyone. And that's what's been most frustrating about the process for me.
At the same time, we've seen a shared revenue package that a lot of people, let's be honest, thought would never happen with divided government.
That is good news.
Yeah. Your sense of what that means for local communities and for individuals in the state?
Well, for decades, as you know, as your time as mayor, the state has not been returning enough shared revenue to local municipalities. These are the things that pay for the roads and the services and the snowplows and all the things that we depend on. It's been broken for a very long time, and there's been a reluctance to revisit the formula. So finally this year, we did fix the formula so that depending on where you live, you're going to see anywhere from a low of 10% in Milwaukee to upwards of 200% more than you have in years past. And that's going to mean a lot in terms of roads, services, and the things that that everyone in Wisconsin depends on.
So the obvious question is, if we can do it for that, have this, what I think is an incredible consensus point on something that was a concern for a long time, why can't we do it on other things?
I wish we could do it more often. And I guess if you're going to look on the bright side, let's hope that this is the start of a new relationship.
That was my next question. Is this the start of a beautiful relationship?
We would love to. I voted in favor of the shared revenue. It was disappointing to me that there were a lot of other items in there that the city and the county were forced to accept in order to get the badly needed shared revenue and the sales tax, that the increase in the sales tax for the county and a new sales tax for the city. They needed that to avoid a fiscal cliff. But there are also provisions in there that the city and the county would never have agreed to. And if
sounds like they're going to fight those provisions.
It looks like they are going to fight them. So it's just like a lot of things coming out of Madison, you have to look at the good and the bad. And hopefully it's on balance better than it is worse.
So one point that I want to make, and I heard you say this late in the night, early in the morning, but majority parties make the rules and they get to decide those things. The timing doesn't necessarily suggest bad, but I think on this one, I'm going to agree with you. And that is the Office of School Safety.
Yeah, that's a big one.
So why do you think, and the way this was crafted, I think we're talking about $30 million, $32, something like that, which set up, you describe it to fans of the show. What is it? What did it actually do?
So the Office of School Safety was set up with bipartisan support initially in 2017. And a lot of these offices were set up in reaction to school shootings, this one specifically after the Parkland shooting, as a way to consolidate best practices so that schools can update and upgrade their security, everything from their floor plans to mental health supports for students and so that schools have a place to turn when something happens. And we're not just talking about school shootings. We're talking about any sort of tragic event. And as in state law, it is required that state agencies at DOJ have to look for additional federal funds. If there are federal funds available, they need to apply. So you're not just relying on state resources. Well, the Office of School Safety did that. They got a multimillion-dollar grant to expand the office. what that was able to do was to have state-of-the-art best practices come to an office that is used by almost every single school in the state. So updating security plans, training security personnel, making sure that there are mental health supports, there's a rapid response team, all the things that we really need to see in place, Wisconsin was able to do under this grant.
So why aren't we talking about it being refunded?
Well, what the Republicans are saying is that it was a temporary funds. It was a grant. And there is a misconception that these were ARPA funds. This was never funded by ARPA dollars. This was a federal grant that the office got to set up an office, which by almost everybody's opinion is doing phenomenal work. All different states, private schools, public schools, lean on this office. We just had a press conference, and the principal from one of these schools that was affected by the Waukesha parade talked about how after that happened, the office was able to dispatch mental health supports to schools, to the students, so that they knew what to do, so that the teachers could use the services. So this is exactly the kind of thing that we need and we should be giving to our schools all across the state. And if we don't offer some state support at this point in time, because the federal grant has run out, 2/3 to 3/4 of the office will disappear overnight.
What's the cutoff? When will the office go away?
Well, the grant funding is there. I don't remember when, but it's a matter of when people are hired and how much other resources that they can move around. So the office was initially capitalized to just have, I believe, one person. They did staff it up to three, but the federal grant enabled them to staff up at least 18 staffers. So that's what we're looking at.
Is there a fallback position? Is there something that could replace this that maybe has some bipartisan support?
There's nothing that can replace the scope of the services that they're offering right now. And in fact, when I was talking with the Attorney General and staff at DOJ, what we would be losing are the people who have the institutional knowledge, who are trained, who can work with schools quickly and let them know what these resources are. They have a rapid response team, a critical incident response team. If you look nationally, and in fact the Secret Service, they recommend looking at these interventions, trying to intervene with students and with people who look like they might be at risk, and to do it early. Don't wait until we think that there might be a school shooting. That's what this office does. One of the most important things that they do is offer the Speak Up, Speak Out tip line. This is a confidential 24/7 tip line that students or anyone in the school can call when they see something online that someone is posting there's a threat at school, or they think that somebody might be at risk of harming themselves or others. They can call anonymously. This line has received more than 7,000 tips. And this will go away unless we can have the staff to staff it.
We're going to go to break here, but do you think that the reason, and you said Republicans aren't funding this, is because of the funding question, whether it's temporary funds versus we can't sustain this money going forward?
I think that is moot when you look at the budget, and it would require less than 0.1% of our current surplus to keep it going.
That's a good point. That's why I agree the office should have stayed. After the break, I want to talk education.
Sure.
Because it's always on everybody's minds. We those who have had kids, those who have to pay taxes in school districts. My guest, State Representative Deb Andraca on WTMJ. From the state legislature, State Representative Deb Andraca joined. Where's your district again? What do you cover?
23rd. So, Milwaukee's North Shore.
Beautiful North Shore of Milwaukee.
It is beautiful.
Although it's smoky, like it is everywhere.
Right now, it is quite a bit.
That is, we were talking before you came on, that this is remarkable. I've never seen this before. And you said you lived in Singapore and you saw something like this.
I did. Many years ago, we lived in Southeast Asia and we had days just like this. And we had to buy air purifiers. And so we dug those out and we're running them right now. My daughter has asthma, so I look at the air quality almost every single day.
Yeah, I told the story at the beginning of the show. I felt it. My eyes were irritated. My throat was scratchy, still a bit scratchy today, just from being outside.
Yeah.
And I wasn't really, I guess I was kind of exerting myself because I was doing landscaping work, but I can't imagine like running, although there were people out there. Probably not the best thing to do.
No, I don't think so.
All right, let's talk about education. We know that one of the things that came out of these proposals is that we are going to fund education in a different way, but we're going to give more to both sides of the equation, the not private, charter schools, right? Choice schools.
Voucher schools.
Yeah, voucher schools. And public education.
Yes.
Did both sides win here?
One side won a whole lot more than the other. So there is an increase in education funding. The biggest increase was for voucher schools. So they receive several thousand dollars more per pupil. And so they get closer to the average per pupil that public schools get. There's some fundamental differences there, however. What the public schools are getting right now, they were hoping for a much more significant per pupil increase as well. They did not. The increase that public schools got doesn't even cover inflation right now. I was particularly interested in seeing how they would treat the formula for special education. A lot of the schools in my district, public schools are, and rightly so, required to provide a free and appropriate public education for everyone regardless of disability. The costs for some of these special education programs have really gone up, but the state only reimburses that rate. Currently, it's around 30%. That was increased to 33%. For voucher schools, if you get the special education scholarship, they reimburse the costs at 90%.
Why the difference?
You would have to ask the proponents of voucher schools, really. If we're going to talk about equal funding for all pupils, we need to look at special education too, because we're just talking about literacy quite a bit in the legislature. We want to be able to meet every single child. Want to be able, we can identify some of those learning needs early on, like we were talking about with school safety. And we can't do that without specialists and without the people to be able to do it.
We had State Senator John Jagler on the show yesterday talking about the literacy piece of this, and he indicated there is support from the Department of Public Instruction, Jill Underly. That says to me that there's, again, here's that bipartisan thing again, that we're sort of figuring things out. I'm a big proponent of phonics. I know you were like a reading teacher.
I was. I was a substitute. I spent most of my time in third grade. And so third grade is really when kids go from learning to read to reading to learn.
Do you support the literacy bill? And did you support the literacy bill? And do you think this is the like first step in sort of looking at what are we actually teaching our kids and how are they retaining that? Because the retention is a big part of this, right?
Yes. And if you look big picture, Wisconsin's reading scores have been dropping. We have been in the top 10 historically. Wisconsin has a very proud tradition of funding public schools. That has been eroding over time. Over the past 10 to 15 years, the amount of funding that our public schools has been receiving has been dropping dramatically. So that is really sort of the backdrop of all of this. If you're talking about doing interventions and working with kids one-on-one, making sure that they have the tools early on, and we're identifying some people who might be struggling, that costs money, that requires smaller classes, and that requires a lot of specialists. So the literacy bill that just passed, which I voted in favor of, was a comprehensive, I would say a pivot, more towards phonics and less away from a whole learning approach to reading. It's something that I think more schools need to do. Again, you get back to the costs. So a lot of schools were interested in doing this. To pivot from one way of teaching to another is a huge expensive undertaking. So you have to buy curricula, which can cost hundreds of thousands of dollars. You have to retrain teachers. You have to, one of the things that I liked in the bill was that it had coaching. So you had people who are in the classroom who can specialize in teaching phonics and teaching this way of learning to our most vulnerable kids. And you give them support. Again, that is very expensive, and we've been underfunding our schools for a while. So this bill provides $50 million. It's not nearly enough, but it is a good start.
And on that point, the teachers I've heard from, which represent all sides of the political spectrum, both sides, they kind of like this return.
Yes, it's returning to. So I went to elementary school in the 70s, and we did have more of a phonics-based approach. We have moved away from that over the past years. We need to return to a more phonics in the classroom, I do believe. But again, it gets back to funding a lot of times, unfortunately. And I wish it didn't. But if we are going to do the individualized reading plans, which every kid should have, and we're going to identify, and I have sat with students and done those kinds of interventions and work with them one-on-one. Those cost money, and those are the kinds of things that Wisconsin used to be willing to fund, and I still think our kids are worth it, and I still think that we need to invest a whole lot more in public education for special ed for all students across the board, because the Wisconsin idea we need to get back to it. And it was started here, and I'd like to see us return to it in a big way.
All right. You're getting the budget bill tomorrow. Assembly gets the budget bill tomorrow?
Yes. It's in the Senate today, and the Assembly will have it tomorrow.
All right. Any idea how you're going to vote on it?
I'm still looking into options. I mean, there are good parts. There are parts that I strongly disagree with, and so you have to take it all on balance. So.
All right.
Talking to my colleagues and listening to my constituents.
Always great to see you, State Representative Deb Andraca, representing the North Shore of Milwaukee. Stay safe in the smoke.
And, thank you. You too.
We'll see you next time.